This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Lord has made.
I will rejoice.
I will rejoice.
And be glad in it.
And be glad in it.
That's it. It's over.
I was about to harmonize with you.
No.
And it was going to be good.
No, I say.
Ruined.
Yep. Hey, everybody.
Hi, guys.
Welcome back. It's Chip and Eric reading through the Bible with friends, and one of our friends is Allison.
That's one of them.
That's the name of the podcast, Chip and Eric reading through the Bible with friends, and one of our friends is Allison.
Yep, that's the whole name.
Yep.
Rolls right off the tongue.
LLC.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Yep.
I see it on cars, too, bumper stickers.
Probably not going to surprise anyone. I still have a fever.
Yes, you do.
Because it's been 5 seconds since the last day we recorded.
Stupid fever will not break.
I know. Actually, it's broken several times.
Oh.
Yeah.
And come back?
Mm-hmm.
Are you treating it? You know, there's some people who don't treat fever, you know, because they think like...
Oh, no, I treat it.
Some people say like, you know, let the fever do its job. And get rid of the...
No. Fevers are stupid. I hate them.
I do too. Gosh, I hate them. And today... Poor Eric, through his fevered haze, has to read quite a reading. So I will start it.
Whoa.
I know.
Wow.
Because for two reasons. Number one, you have a fever. And number two, your track record.
Hey, I did it fine last year.
Did you?
Yep.
Did you?
Yes. This wasn't the one that tripped me up last year.
Oh, you're right. The skin diseases was the one that tripped you up last year.
So actually, let me do it because...
Let's see if you can do it.
No, I know I can do it. I know I can do it. Okay. For all of you who don't know what we're talking about, Deuteronomy 23 starts off with a very shocking sentence that 2 years ago sent me into a fit. But I'm better now.
It was just the shock of, I think, the title.
Well, heading. Regulations concerning worship.
Yeah. It just threw you off.
Yeah. That the contrast between that title, which is not an inspired title, by the way.
Right.
It's given to it by the editors of the New Living Translation.
I wonder why they chose that one.
Because they're jerks.
Wonder what it is in the NIV. I should look that up.
I don't know.
See if it's the same. I will tell you that when I listened to that episode, I was driving while I was listening to it. And I will never forget. I was on 135. And I... when Chip loses it.
Yeah.
And he really loses it. It for some reason is so funny to me. And he, and then you, when you said, why?
Yeah, why?
Why?
Because I had just gotten it back together.
And then you had to read. Yep. But we're gonna get through it.
We're gonna do 100% fine.
Yep.
Because here's the thing, it's the Word of God.
It's the Word of God, and it's inspired, and it's God breathed.
Yes.
And
profitable
for teaching, learning.
Yes, teaching and learning.
And what is it?
I only know the King James.
What is it?
All I know is that all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, correction, reproof, and instruction.
Okay. Why do you only know the King James? You're not a King James.
I know. I went to Bible college and it was King James.
That's what you do. All right, let's do this. Deuteronomy 20. Speaking of, did I say what we're doing?
No.
Okay, so today's day 73, and we're going to read Deuteronomy 23 through 25 and Romans 16.
Regulations concerning worship. If a man's testicles are crushed or his penis is cut off, he may not be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. If a person is illegitimate by birth, neither he nor his descendants for 10 generations may be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. No Ammonite or Moabite or any other descendants for 10 generations may be admitted to the assembly of the Lord. These nations did not welcome you with food and water when you came out of Egypt. Instead, they hired Balaam, son of Beor, from Pethor in distant Aram Naharaim to curse you. The Lord your God refused to listen to Balaam. He turned the intended curse into a blessing because the Lord your God loves you. As long as you live, you must never promote the welfare and prosperity of the Ammonites or Moabites. Do not detest the Edomites or the Egyptians because the Edomites are your relatives and you lived as foreigners among the Egyptians. The third generation of Edomites and Egyptians may enter the assembly of the Lord.
Miscellaneous regulations. When you go to war against your enemies, be sure to stay away from anything that is impure. Any man who becomes ceremonially defiled because of a nocturnal emission must leave the camp and stay away all day. Toward evening, he must bathe himself, and at sunset, he may return to the camp. You must have a designated area outside the camp where you can go to relieve yourself. Each of you must have a spade as part of your equipment. Whenever you relieve yourself, dig a hole with a spade and cover the excrement. The camp must be holy, for the Lord your God moves around in the camp to protect and defeat your enemies. He must not see any shameful thing among you, or he will turn away from you. If slaves should escape from their masters and take refuge with you, you must not hand them over to their masters. Let them live among you in any town they choose, and do not oppress them. No Israelite, whether man or woman, may become a temple prostitute. When you are bringing an offering to fulfill a vow, you must not bring to the house of the Lord your God any offering from the earnings of the prostitute, whether a man or a woman, or both, or for both are detestable to the Lord your God. Do not charge interest on the loans you make to a fellow Israelite, whether you loan money or food or anything else. You may charge interest to foreigners, but you may not charge interest to Israelites, so that the Lord your God may bless you in everything you do in the land you are about to enter and occupy. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him, for the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows, or you will be guilty of sin. However, it's not a sin to refrain from making a vow, but once you have voluntarily made a vow, be careful to fulfill your promise to the Lord your God. When you enter your neighbor's vineyard, you may eat your fill of grapes, but you must not carry away any away in a basket. When you enter your neighbor's field of grain, you may pluck the heads of grain with your hand, but you must not harvest it with a sickle.
Deuteronomy chapter 24. Suppose a man marries a woman, but she does not please him. Having discovered something wrong with her, he writes a document of divorce, hands it to her, and sends her away from his house. When she leaves his house, she is free to marry another man. But if the second husband also turns against her, writes a document of divorce, hands it to her, and sends her away, or if he dies, the first husband may not marry her again, for she has been defiled. That would be detestable to the Lord. You must not bring guilt upon the land the Lord your God is giving you as a special possession. A newly married man must not be drafted into the army or be given any other official responsibilities. He must be free to spend 1 year at home, bringing happiness to the wife he has married. It is wrong to take a set of millstones, or even just the upper millstone, as a security for a loan, for the owner uses it to make a living. If anyone kidnaps a fellow Israelite and treats him as a slave or sells him, the kidnapper must die. In this way, you will purge the evil from among you. In all cases involving serious skin diseases, be careful to follow the instructions of the Levitical priests. Obey all the commands I have given them. Remember what the Lord your God did to Miriam as you were coming from Egypt. If you lend anything to your neighbor, do not enter his house to pick up the item he is giving as security. You must wait outside while he goes in and brings it out to you. If your neighbor is poor and gives you his cloak as security for a loan, do not keep the cloak overnight. Return the cloak to its owner by sunset so he can stay warm through the night and bless you, and the Lord your God will count you as righteous. Never take advantage of poor and destitute laborers, whether they are fellow Israelites or foreigners living in your towns. You must pay them their wages each day before sunset, because they are poor and counting on it. If you don't, they might cry out to the Lord against you, and it would be counted against you as sin. Parents must not be put to death for the sins of their children, nor children for the sins of their parents. Those deserving to die must be put to death for their own crimes. True justice must be given to foreigners living among you and to orphans, and you must never accept a widow's garment as security for her debt. Always remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God redeemed you from slavery. That is why I've given you this command. When you are harvesting your crops and forget to bring in a bundle of grain from your field, don't go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all you do. When you beat the olives from your olive trees, don't go over the boughs twice. Leave the remaining olives for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. And when you gather the grapes in your vineyard, don't glean the vines after they are picked. Leave the remaining grapes for the foreigners, orphans, and widows. Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. That is why I'm giving you this command.
Deuteronomy chapter 25. Suppose two people take a dispute to court and the judges declare that one is right and the other is wrong. If the person in the wrong is sentenced to be flogged, the judge must command him to lie down and be beaten in his presence with the number of lashes appropriate to the crime. But never give more than 40 lashes. More than 40 lashes would publicly humiliate your neighbor. You must not muzzle an ox to keep it from eating as it treads out the grain.
Amen.
If two brothers are living together on the same property and one of them dies without a son, his widow may not be married to anyone from outside the family. Instead, her husband's brother should marry her and have intercourse with her to fulfill the duties of a brother-in-law. The first son she bears to him will be considered the son of the dead brother, so that his name will not be forgotten in Israel. But if the man refuses to marry his brother's widow, she must go to the town gate and say to the elders assembled there, "My husband's brother refuses to preserve his brother's name in Israel. He refuses to fulfill the duties of a brother-in-law by marrying me." The elders of the town will then summon and talk with him. If he still refuses and says, "I don't want to marry her," the widow must walk over to him in the presence of the elders, pull his sandal from his foot, and spit in his face. Then she must declare, "This is what happens to a man who refuses to provide his brother with children. And ever afterward in Israel, his family will be referred to as the family of the man whose sandal was pulled off."
Yikes.
If two Israelite men get into a fight and the wife of one tries to rescue her husband by grabbing the testicles of the other man, you must cut off her hand. Show her no pity. You must use accurate scales when you weigh out merchandise, and you must use full and honest measures. Yes, always honest weights and measures. So use honest weights and measures so that you may enjoy a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. All who cheat with dishonest weights and measures are detestable to the Lord your God. Never forget what the Amalekites did to you as you came from Egypt. They attacked you when you were exhausted and weary, and they struck down those who were straggling behind. They had no fear of God. Therefore, when the Lord your God has given you rest from all your enemies in the land he is giving you as a special possession, you must destroy the Amalekites and erase their memory from under heaven. Never forget this.
Okay, we're going to jump forward and finish the book of Romans here. Romans chapter 16. Oh, and I get to read one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Paul greets his friends. "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Cenchrea. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many, and especially to me. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. In fact, they once risked their lives for me. I'm thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus. He was the first person from the province of Asia to become a follower of Christ. Give my greetings to Mary, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews, who were in prison with me. They are highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, a good man whom Christ approves. And give my greetings to the believers from the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the household of Narcissus. Give my greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa, the Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, who has worked so hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. Give my greetings to Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who meet with them. Give my greetings to Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and to Olympus and all the believers who meet with them. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. All the churches of Christ send you their greetings."
Paul's final instructions. "And now I make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause divisions and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you have been taught. Stay away from them. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. But everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. This makes me very happy. I want you to be wise in doing right and stay innocent of any wrong. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. May the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends you his greetings, as do Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my fellow Jews. I, Tertius, the one writing this letter for Paul, send my greetings too, as one of the Lord's followers. Gaius says hello to you. He is my host and also serves as host to the whole church. Erastus, the city treasurer, who sends you his greetings, and so does our brother Quartus. Now, all glory to God, who is able to make you strong, just as my good news says. This message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan for you Gentiles, a plan kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold and the eternal God has commanded, the message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere, so that they may too believe and obey him. All glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. Amen."
And that is our reading today.
I love Romans so much.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite books.
Yeah. Well, you know why I like that verse, but just so everybody knows why, we named our daughter Phoebe.
Yeah.
And the intention there was because she's a deaconess. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's beautiful, you know. So my family and our church and Harvest Church and First Baptist Church all agree that the Bible's pretty clear that women aren't to be elders in churches, but they can be deacons in churches. They can be leaders and important. She has been helpful to many, especially to me. So I just love mm-hmm. that.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love how Paul wraps up letters. So.
Yep.
So how does this help us love God more? And how does this help us love others more?
Yeah. Which one are you going to take?
I think I'm going to do others.
Okay.
Just because reading this ending of Romans, really kind of one of the things that popped in my head was how important and how helpful it is to offer encouragement to people who are also doing the same work that you're doing. Paul's writing this letter and he's making sure to list these people by name.
Yeah. You know?
He's not saying, tell everybody I said, hey, or, hey, I heard everybody's doing a great job. Tell them. He goes name by name and explains why. He wants them to give his greetings or to thank them for what they're doing or greet them. And I think that is something that is easy to forget to do when you are in a church family, to look around at the people who are serving God so diligently and encourage them, mm-hmm. you know, and thank them for what they do.
Specifically.
Yes. I think I'm going to do a shout out right now. I think about Gloria.
Yeah, that's who I thought of.
Did you?
Yeah.
That's exactly Gloria Reigns. Okay, so she is she tirelessly works yeah. for our church. She is constantly working. She's constantly making food and it's wonderful. And she always has a smile on her face. And she's always, what I love about her is as she's doing this, she's finding ways to mentor. She mentors my girls.
Yeah.
She and my girls, you know, they love being around her so much. She's so positive and uplifting. And I was thinking this week, you know, I really don't tell her enough how much I appreciate mm-hmm. what she does. So I think that this ending in Romans really reminds me, Allison, make sure you tell people how thankful you are for what they do, because what they do is priceless. It's so wonderful.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You know, what really blows my mind is Paul's never been to this church and he knows all these people.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of crazy.
How does he know them?
Well, I mean, if Priscilla and Aquila are any indication, it's because people are kind of shifting around and moving around. And
he knew Priscilla and Aquila, right? Like
right.
He had been around them.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm assuming he'd been around the other ones too, but
not there.
It's just not there. Yeah. It's very fascinating to me. So,
which is interesting because that's the whole idea of the model of the church, right? And the church planting and moving and
So like especially in the early days, the church needed people to be very flexible
and sent out.
Yeah, I mean, but you think about Aquila and Priscilla, they were in Corinth and Ephesus, I think, and then now all the way out in Rome. Corinth and Ephesus are in Greece, and then they went all the way out to Rome to minister. Like it's just crazy, like. People were just putting everything aside. Like they weren't building static lives like we have. You know, they weren't buying houses and settling down. And, you know, people were moving and constantly. Like the reason Christianity took off is because so many people were willing to be fluid in their lives. I mean, even Phoebe, right? Like he's sending this letter with her. That's why he says, I commend to you my sister Phoebe. Mm-hmm. So like she's delivering this letter from Cenchrea, and now she's in Rome. So very interesting.
It's also interesting to think about that in regards to if you compare it to how we are nowadays and how so many times nowadays you hear, it's almost like churches can be competitive with each other.
Yeah.
Instead of, yeah, my friend over there is doing the work over there.
Yeah.
And my so-and-so, you know what I mean? Like
right.
We're working together. He just happens to be in this building and
right.
he moved to this building and seen as a cohesive
yep.
unit rather than a come to our church instead of that church, you know?
Well, and that's such a foreign concept, like the cooperative
I don't know, the cooperative approach between churches is such a foreign concept that even when First Baptist Church very publicly sends Harvest Church, people are still like, wow, so a church split, huh? Right. What happened there?
They assumed we had problems.
Well, I thought it was Chip and Eric, not Chip versus Eric.
Right.
Like, you know, so, I mean, it's just, it's such a foreign concept to people that they can't even comprehend that.
Yeah.
Hey, so how's this help me love God more? I'm not going to be childish about this, but like they had to go outside the camp to poop, right? And bury it, you know, which is just hygienic and whatever. But the reason why, because God moves around your camp to protect you and defeat your enemies. He must not see any shameful thing among you or he'll turn away from you. How much more, like that's the physical. Remember, the Old Testament tells us a lot of physical things. God was in and among their camp. Now God is in and among us. And so, man, I think there is something to be said for keeping ourselves pure, like the camp was meant to be pure. Removing everything shameful from within us so that God doesn't have to be displeased with his housing that is ourselves. So I just think this concept of holiness, really, you know, the physical concept of holiness in the Old Testament, they took all the gross stuff outside the camp because God was in the camp. And I think spiritually today, we take all the gross stuff outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
Get rid of it because God's within us. And he's owed a good housing, you know, he's owed a solid place to live.
Yeah, I love that. Never thought about that. That's a great
point. I'm gonna write a sermon series called Poop Outside the Camp.
Yeah, I like that. Have like
Hannah will come up with the
Hannah can do the graphic and it'll be great. Like, I think that's next year. You need to, you probably have your year planned.
Well, that's actually gonna probably be my Easter message this year.
Oh, well, I mean, what better time to start?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's great. Guys, did it again. You read through the Bible again.
Romans.
You finished Romans. And now we're going to go into Galatians, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
Super proud of you guys. Stay with it.
Yeah, keep it up. You guys are doing a great job.
Don't slack off in spring break.
No, it's easy to do.
If you have a spring break.
Because routines change.
Right.
That's the deal. Once routines change, it's like, crazy. People tell me that a lot, like, well, when routines, like right now I'm sick, so like I haven't been to the gym,
right?
So my routine's all thrown off, right? And that'll make it hard to get back.
Yes.
But I like when routines change, like, oh, here's a good example. When summer break ends and I go back to teaching, it really makes like my whole life go topsy-turvy, you know, but I still eat my meals. Right. And I, you know, like the things that are truly crucial to me, they still happen.
Yes.
You know, so I just think if we make Bible reading one of those things that's truly crucial,
it can't go away.
Yeah.
It's not the thing to,
right,
to forfeit in the day to make time for something else.
Yeah.
To,
it's not on the chopping block. It is crucial. It's something you have to do.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Keep that in mind, guys.
Yep.
We love you.
We do love you. We're proud of you. Keep it up. And,
we'll see you back here tomorrow. And
yeah.
Maybe
and everything's okay with Chip. He just needed time off for family stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We didn't address that.
Yeah. So don't worry about Chip. He's doing fine. Or you can worry about him.
I mean, you could.
It won't make you taller, though. That's what Jesus said. You can worry all you want. You won't get any taller.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. So
there you go.
That fixes it.
Shorty.
Shouty.